Am I booming? I feel real loud. If I'm not, if I am, turn me down. So let's just get into it because we don't have too long left. But I just really feel like this is something really good and tasty for you all. So, yeah. So so if you have your Bible with you, turn to Genesis 6, verse 8. We're talking about Noah. He was a really cool dude. And if you have notepads, take notes because, as James Murray says, that's the only way to get into heaven. So, that's me. Now, okay, so we've got Genesis 6, verse 8. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Now, before I kind of get into the meat and the crux of my message, I think this is three things to be considered by God that are really quite special. If God considers you blameless, if he considers you righteous, and if he considers you faithful, like if you called me that at the end of my life, I would take that. Like if that was on my tombstone, I'd be happy with that. I would definitely, definitely be happy with that. All right. Sorry, does someone have a pen? Can I borrow it for a sec? Because I've just remembered something. Sorry, my mind constantly going. Beautiful, sweet, cool. Okay, so yeah, so we've got Noah. Noah's been called by God. He goes on to speak. I'm going to jump in and out of verse. I hope that's okay with you all. But basically what happens is Noah is called by God. God says, hey, Noah, I like the way you work. I like the way you worship me. I like the way you talk with me. I like what you're doing. What's going to happen is I'm basically going to smite the planet and I'm going to save you. Happy story. It's happy at the end. There's sunshines and rainbows and daffodils and it all gets good. And so God tells him this, and I think Noah would have been freaking out a little bit. But at verse 6:18, Noah's kind of given him this kind of these instructions. You have to build an ark, you have to do this, that, and the other. But in 6:18 he says, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You will be safe. So Noah gets these instructions from God, and he takes this like list of materials that he needs and the way that he has to build the ark. And he sends the kids down to Bunnings, sends them down with the truck. They load it in, they put their order in. They got to kind of get it from the, I don't know, where do all the carpenters get their wood, Eddie? Bunnings? They go down to WA Timber Supplies and they lodge a big order. They're like, look, we need a whole heck load of wood, right? And so they put it in and things start to arrive in the next few days because it takes a while. And word in town starts kind of reaching people that Noah's building this boat in his backyard. And so people are kind of like, nah, it's the middle of the desert. What are you going to build a boat for? And so one of his neighbors does the old, pops his head over the fence. He's like, Noah. And he sees that he's busy working. Like, you know, Noah's probably like the foreman overseeing it. And he's got his kids hammering. It's the only reason he had kids to, no. And so he sticks his head over and he can see what's going on, but he decides, I'm going to ask just to kind of clarify. He might just be building a treehouse. He says, Noah, what are you doing? I'm building a boat. And he says, sorry, I'm building an ark. And his neighbor's like, why? And I was like, because God told me to. And his neighbor would have been like, all right then, mate. Have fun with that. And I can only imagine how much Noah would have been kind of taunted by the town that he lived in. Like, the scholars say that it took him 120 years to build this thing. And, like, this is in a place of drought. Like, there's not rain. So I think the way I would think, if that makes sense, that I would start kind of doubting a little bit. Like, maybe after 40 years of absolutely no rain, probably no clouds in the sky, I'd say, God, I really, really hope you've got this right. After 80 years of people going, hey, Noah, where are the clouds? Sunny days. How you feel? I think my faith would kind of begin to dwindle just a smidgen, you know, because I'm a pretty faithful guy. And then, yes, no, I'm joking. But after 90 years of being taunted and copying it, I'm sure he would have been begging for vindication. Like, I'm going to get you guys one day. When you guys are drowning, I'm going to be laughing at you. Something. And so, probably not, because Noah was a good guy. He was righteous. You shouldn't laugh at that, guys. Come on. And so, finally, the ark was built. They say 120 years. And I'm not sure from the time that he finished to the time that God spoke to him. But there was, but God says, Noah, in 7 days, I will be sending floodwaters. They will fill the earth. I want you to begin preparations to fill the ark. So the ark was built, but everything wasn't on it yet. All the animals were probably in their pens and stuff like that. Load them on. And so this 7 days goes by, and he loads everything on, and he gets ready. And then the clouds began to fill the sky. Big, dark rain clouds fill the valley. And the sky grows dark, a big clap of thunder, and the heavens open. And there the ark sat, locked, bolted, sealed, with its contents inside, protected. And the rains fell, and the earth was flooded. And then we turn to Genesis 8, verse 1. So this is kind of after the 40 days of flooding and constant rain and all that jazz. Genesis 8, but God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters began to recede. And so tonight I want to speak not so much about Noah, but more the illustration and the step-by-step story that we can take from this, the ark. So the first thing I want to clarify is, what is the purpose of an ark? To protect the contents of what's inside, right? It was built to protect from outside, from prevailing forces, to keep the things inside treasured and secure and a sacred place. So, for those of you that are going to take notes, first point is be prepared. When the storms and the floods came, Noah was ready. The ark had been built, and God waits until a point where he knows that Noah is ready for this thing to happen. He doesn't send a flood halfway through the building of the ship because he would have died, right? And so in our life, God won't send trials and tribulations before we're ready for them. He will actually give us a time to prepare. If we prepare or if we don't, that's kind of a whole other story. But God will give us an adequate time to get ready for it. Always. And whether that's be, and so that time is opportunity for us to build our relationship with him, to get consistency. This is the biggest thing I think I personally struggle with, is consistency, is praying daily, reading your Bible daily, having a sacred place where you can walk and talk with God. Your private, personal little ark. It may not actually resemble an ark, if you're just thinking of building an ark. No? But your sacred place, a place that you can go that is protected from everything else, a place where you and God can be together and one. And Timothy 4, verse 2, we're not going to go there, but it speaks of being prepared in season and out of season and so on and so forth. And if you want to look at it, you can, but I'm not necessarily going to go there. My second point, so first point is God, be prepared for when it comes. Second point is you will be safe, but it won't be easy. I think most people have kind of been through situations in their life where the world around them feels like it's crumbling and falling apart. And the stormy seas, I'm sure when they were on the ark, there were moments where, like Noah's probably looking out of his little porthole, and he can see this massive tidal wave kind of lining him up. And I'm sure he would have been going, oh no. Oh, guys, I really hope you got the nails all the way through the wood and you hope you sealed it properly, because if this thing comes through and cracks us, we're gone. We're done. I'm sure Sandy would know about this because he's a boating man. I'm not going anywhere with that. I just thought I'd give you a shout out for free. And so you'll be safe, but it won't be an easy time on the boat. It'll be rocky. The ocean around you will actually toss you and turn you, and there'll be times where you feel like you're tipping and you've got to hold on for dear life. Hold on. Keep holding on. You know, there's so many verses I've got, but for time's sake, I'm not going to go there. You know, 1 Peter 1, verse 3, verse 8, is really good. And Romans 8:17. Actually, let's go to Romans 8:17. Can you get it on the computer for me? Save me turning there. Thank you, AJ. I love you. Sorry? 8:17? Actually, I'm going to turn there. Who's got their Bibles tonight? I saw one hand. It's on the screen. Beautiful. All right, now if we are children, then we are heirs. We discussed this a little bit last Sunday, didn't we? Where's Jazz? Not hers. We are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Christ suffered big time. And so if we suffer, we share in what he's got. Isaiah 53, the whole verse, talks of the suffering that Christ will eventually go through. When we go through pain, we call on God to save us. And what exactly do we expect? Like when we're suffering and when we're in this world of torment and we call on God, do we expect to be immediately pulled out of this situation and everything's going to be rosy? Or do we kind of have to keep soldiering on and keep moving through and keep going? See, because sometimes God will turn a bad thing into a good thing and he will begin to strengthen us. God is with us, his hand, his ark, what we've built with him will protect us from what's outside of us trying to break us down. You'll be on the boat, but you will feel the waters rock the boat, but you will be safe. You will be safe. I like that. You will be safe. And so it'll be tough. And so that's where that verse is. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8. I'm also going to turn there. We're going to just jump around. I hope you guys are good with that. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 8. I'm sure I've got that. Yes. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered from us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us once again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. Is that not like the best verse you've heard possibly ever? Because I think, like, I mean, I know times when I've been suffering and in a place that I really don't want to be, and you get angry with God, and it's like you want to punch him, and you just want to lose it at him. You get angry, you get frustrated, and you know that you're being protected by him, but you don't want to go through this thing that you're going through. And so it talks about this, and just people like Paul, even they despaired of life itself. They wanted to give up, they wanted to walk away, but they didn't. Because Christ renewed them and he kept pushing them and going further and further. Point three. Sorry, I'm going to have some water. Talk amongst yourselves. Not really. Oh, my throat gets so dry. All right, so Point three, when it's over, things will never be the same again. Oh, Christianity is hard. It'll push you, it'll test you. And for those of you that are wondering if it would be easier not being a Christian, yes, it would be. I promise you. Not that I know what that's like, but yeah, anyway. But yeah, just, you know, everyone has those friends that aren't in church and you just see them doing what they want and just that, you know, they don't kind of struggle with the things that you seem to be struggling with and everything just seems to be coasting through life. They've got this, they've got that. It seems easier. But do you know what? I don't think I would trade this for anything in the world. And so we have some people that will call themselves Christians. What makes a Christian? Wearing a Bible, wearing a cross, going to church. A real Christian imitates all of what Christ is. And on this walk, as a Christian, you'll lose friends. It hurts. It will. I promise you. I promise you. Hand to God. It will hurt. Sometimes you'll feel you can't go on. You'll get angry. You'll feel like you've been abandoned. You'll scream. You'll yell. You'll punch stuff. You'll put holes in the back of your door. You'll slam your car door. The glass will shatter. Things will not go exactly how you want them to go. But if you're in his ark and you don't jump ship, you will be delivered. And throughout the entire Bible, we see it. Noah, Moses, David, Abraham, Joseph. Joseph is one of my absolute heroes. Goes through this time where I'm sure he would have just wanted to give up. But we're not talking about Joseph. Another time, perhaps. Samuel, Job. Job, if anyone is justified in walking away, I think it's him. Absolute hero. Continued to do the journey with God. Continued to stay faithful. Continued to stay righteous. Continued on the walk. Nehemiah, Samson, Deborah. The list goes on and on and on and on. And so you will be delivered. And I hate, I feel like such a loser saying this. Not on your time, but on God's time. I feel like that's almost a cop-out, but it's not. So not on your time, but on God's time, at the right time, when you're ready, when you're done, when, not that your lesson's been learned, but when you've grown and been stretched and you're bigger, the right time, you will come through that tunnel. Because he loves you. He doesn't want you to be alone. I think the cool thing about Noah is that he didn't do it alone. He had his family with him that journeyed. Like, they were his friends. They were his probably closest people. He didn't have to struggle alone. Noah could have struggled through it alone, but I don't think he would have made it if he did it alone. And I think that's something we can take with us. If we take people on this journey with us that are going to encourage us, they're going to build us, they're going to strengthen us, we're going to get there. And so why would you make it harder for yourself and push people away and say, you know what, don't be a part of my life. Poof, poof, poof. Come with me. Let's do this together. And so you can struggle through life in silence, but there's people even here to help you. Share the load, because you weren't meant to do it alone. So my comment to you is, get inside the ark. So Bremer, can I have the band come? And we're going to wrap up really soon. I hope I didn't rush through that for you guys, but I got time. We got all the time in the world. Midnight church, yeah, let's do it. And so tonight, as we kind of wrap up, I kind of want to spend some time letting you guys kind of come out here if you want to come out here, or if you want to stay in your seats, you can. But I really want to take this story of the ark a little bit further. And so for those of us that we feel like we're drowning in the water, in our circumstances, in situations, and I honestly have no idea what situations some people in church have been through. But if you feel like what you're doing it all alone, and it is such a struggle keeping your head above the water. You feel like you're going to just throw the towel in. Then I want you to come forward tonight and just spend some time in the presence of God. Just rebuilding what you know needs to be rebuilt. Spending time with him, just letting him just soothe your heart. You know, there's a great verse that says, cast your cares on the Lord. Sometimes you don't have to carry it anymore. God's done it. God's been through it. He's ready to take it. You just need to let it go to him. And there's some of us as well that we're already in the ark. We know that we've got this relationship. We know we've got that consistency with him. But it feels like there is just a tidal wave of tidal waves coming at us, beating down on top of us. And it feels like at any moment we are about to crack. Then I want to offer you that opportunity to come forward as well. And I don't think there should be any shame felt in coming forward. There should be no shame in the struggle, because we go through it. You want to see a light at the end of the tunnel. Then I just want to encourage you to come forward and just spend time in his presence. I'm going to finish with, I think, you guys have met all my favorite verses tonight almost. But another great one that I love is Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This journey as a Christian will not be easy all the time. Sometimes you will struggle. But God calls us. He will renew us. He will renew your strength. If you just want to bow your heads and just, as the band play, just spend some time with God. If you're struggling, begin to talk to Him. Begin to ask Him to come in. God, I want to do this with you. I don't want to do this alone anymore. I want to feel you, Father. Lord, I am weary. I am burdened. Lord, let me take your yoke upon me. Lord, let us learn from you. Lord, let us feel your gentleness. Lord, let your heart speak into ours. Lord, let me find rest for my soul. Lord God. Lord, let your light burden be put onto me. God, help me. Lord, begin to journey with me. Father God, Lord, as we gather here tonight, Father, I just pray that people don't feel alone in this. Father, Lord, that each heart here tonight would know, Lord, that it would each heart would feel your presence. Lord God, and let nobody feel alone in this. Lord, whatever has been experienced, whatever people have gone through, Lord, I pray for your safety. If there's any of you that are feeling like what I've said has kind of resonated, feel free to come forward and just spend time. If not, you can stay in your seat. That's all right. But we're going to spend a few more moments in this. Church, we're going to dismiss the meeting. So if you want to go out to the cafe, that's cool. But if you want to just stay in this, the band are going to stay. The band are going to keep playing. And just spend time with God. Just spend time in His presence. Get to know Him again. If you want prayer, come to the front. Stay in your seat. It's all up to you. But thank you. Thank you, God.